It's 50 years since I decided to go to seminary, 1957, about September, went to St Patrick's College, Maynooth.
Cardinal Sean Baptist Brady is originally from County Cavan on the border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. But since 1996, he has served as the Catholic Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of All Ireland. Just after his arrival in Rome for this consistory, he sat down with my colleague Emma McCarthy to reflect on his journey from parish priest to Prince of the Church.
I suppose I've reflected a lot because this question is asked in all interviews. Why did you decide to become a priest? And I used to think it was because what I heard in the seminary, in the junior seminary, the college, good priestly teachers there at Orginus. I also thought maybe it was because I had uncles priests, but I've come to the conclusion in recent times, reflecting more, that it was because of the faith of the people, the neighbours among whom I grew up. Because for them, and I've walked through the countryside and see some of the homesteads abandoned now because the countryside is a little bit run down. Their faith, especially the faith in the Eucharist, especially the faith in the First Fridays and the First Thursdays, walking miles to Mass. And I, subconsciously, subliminally, I think I got the message, you know, the priest is central here for the Eucharist, for confession, for anointing of the sick, for baptism, for weddings. Everything, you talk about a cardinal being the hinge, because that's where it comes from. Religious life in the parish revolved around the priest, and I got the impression that the priest was a wanted man. Anyway, I took the decision to go to St. Patrick's College when I was 57, 3 years there. And then, at this time again of the year, my bishop asked me, I was back already in Maynooth studying First Theology, when he said, would you go to Rome? It was in September. And, I said yes, went home to prepare, came out here just as tonight, flew down from Aer Lingus, from Dublin to Lourdes to Rome on a Friday night, remember it well, arriving in Champino. And certainly, I'm arriving at the back gate, the front gate wasn't open at that stage, here at 7, Via Santi Quattro 7. No, we saw cardinals come and go, but the idea of ever becoming a cardinal certainly wouldn't have crossed my mind. My mind was to get ordained priest, to go back to my diocese, which I did eventually in 67 after doing some canon law here. And I taught for 13 years there in the high school, really, teaching secular subjects like Latin and French and some football as well. And then in 1980, I came back here as vice-rector. Now, there I was more in the swim, I suppose, of church life, in the sense of being on the staff here of this college, which I've spent 20 years here in the Irish College, 7 as a student, 13 as a member of staff, vice-rector, rector. That took me into formation and work, which I enjoyed.
Also looking at a lot of the recent discourses you have given in your role as president of the Irish Bishops' Conference, in your role as Primate of All Ireland, you've put an awful lot of emphasis on the family. And that seems to have had a huge impact also on yourself, speaking about the homesteads of where you came from. Why do you put so much emphasis on the family and on the educational role of the family?
I've just come from Fatima, where there was a meeting of the presidents of the Conference of Europe, and we got reports there from the different conferences on the state of marriage and the family, and really it is a fairly depressing picture. Because, I've also been reflecting, because of these interviews, to meditate on my motto, to know Jesus Christ. And again, answering that question, I've been trying to think, well, should I go to the scriptures and I go to the commentaries and I see how do I know Jesus Christ? And then I've come to know, I came to know Jesus Christ through my father and mother. They didn't talk about Jesus Christ, but my father did. He did talk about God and he prayed with us. And my mother, who was maybe because she had a brother a priest and uncles a priest, she was less pious in that sense, but she was a good woman. She, in the attitudes of welcoming the strangers and people into our home, there were always people there and sharing goods with them. So the family is where we learn love. There's no doubt about that. Where the last time, when I was here for the beginning of the Pope Benedict's ministry, he talked about being fishers of men, of saving people out of the seas of alienation. And I think that is one of the big maladies of the present day. So people are alienated from things that they should not be alienated, that they should be in communion with. And one of those is children with parents, spouses with each other, clergy with their people. And that family is so vital. I mean, we get our values, where do we learn love? Where do we experience love if not in the family? So that the crisis of the family really is one of the great crises of the present era, I think, especially here in Europe.
From Archbishop, you are now being elevated to the role of Cardinal within the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
So from the role of being a pastor to the people of your archdiocese, which of course you shall continue to be,
yes,
you're also given
exactly.
A second duty, another duty.
Yes.
You become what was once referred to as the princes of the church, but in very simple terms, the closest advisors to the Holy Father.
Yes.
How is this going to affect you? What do you see as being the main challenges?
The first challenge is to find more time to pray and to reflect and to study and to think about and to listen to, so that if I am asked, I will have something to say, you know, worthwhile. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be the last word, but there is a big challenge. Or to reflect the reality of the local church, a local church like ours, which goes back to St. Patrick, which has come through amazing eras and has now gone through a difficult time too. But that is a big challenge. And I would hope I would have the wisdom to discern what should be said and the courage, I suppose, to speak it with love. But I'm fortunate to have two other cardinals. I mean, it's the first time we have three cardinals in Ireland. They came in the door there this evening. Cardinal Cathal Daly, who was a bishop for 40 years, my predecessor in Armagh. Cardinal Desmond Connell, who I was rector of the college when he became Archbishop of Dublin, when he came here for the Parliament, who was a friend. So that I will be drawing on their advice and help. And I also think that in recent years, because of the tough times we've had, there is a great bond between us bishops. You see how many of them are here. I mean, practically, there's about 20 Irish bishops. I regard that not as a tribute to me, but as a sign of our solidarity and this common vision, I think, which has been forged because by the need to. We can't indulge our idiosyncrasies and our, you know, we have to work together and listen to each other and respect each other and arrive at consensus for the sake of the church.
The challenges that you see, the biggest challenges
at
the moment facing the Universal Church, obviously we come from, the Church in Ireland comes from a very Western point of view,
yes.
Perhaps, so.
Yes.
But the challenges that you feel that are the most important ones that need to be addressed.
I was doing an article for our Intercom, which is the Bishop's magazine, and that same question, what are the challenges? On the one hand, you know, there is a lot of place for religion in Ireland. I mean, the president of our country is coming here. The national channel is coming to transmit both ceremonies Sunday and Saturday. They're going to broadcast the Mass. So there's a lot of good people. I mean, last night I met the Prime Minister. But there's a lot, all the same, a lot of people who are living their lives as if God did not exist. The challenge is for us to find a hearing for the message that we have of Jesus Christ, and to know that that is the hope of the world, and we have to be open to getting help on this. Last week I launched a book by a Jesuit from our part of the country, and it was about the renewal of the church in Ireland in 1601 to 1641. Now, things were in a desperate state civilly, in the flight of the earls. I don't know if you ever heard them. They came out here at that time, and Gaelic and Ulster was rocked to the core. And yet he says, he identifies it as being a renewal. And what was the renewal due to? It was due to first of all, the help they got from continentally trained priests in the Tridentine mode, religious and secular, who came and preached missions. They hadn't churches. The roofs were blown off the churches. It was desolate. They didn't have ordinary structures. But they did have good witnesses, people, missionaries who came and stayed with some of the landed gentry in one part of the diocese and gradually preach to people, preach to big crowds, 2,000 people, and that way the Spirit will work where it is. It's to have the courage and to have confidence in the message and to be utterly convinced, which I am, that we have the message of eternal life. As Peter said, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's for sure. That is, despite all our affluence and wealth and the Celtic tiger and all of this, we need a wider vision, some to give hope, to answer the deeper questions, especially the questions about future life and all that.
In an article that I was reading, it described the fact that the crisis in the church in Ireland, one author likened it to the crisis during the penal times, as you yourself have just done in this interview. In that very same article, he said, one of the great beacons of hope in the Irish church has been Archbishop Brady and his quiet work towards restoring peace in Northern Ireland together with his collaborators. This is another issue which a lot of people, they link you very much to the Northern Irish peace process. How great an example is this? of what can be done if the Christian message is lived in the full?
Well, I just happen to be the lucky one who's there at the time. You know, there are many unsung heroes of the peace process, and I'm not one of them because my contribution is sung well beyond its merits. I suppose I came in from the outside. I was free to talk to people. I was just recalling there that very soon after I became Archbishop of Armagh, I went back to my office after Christmas and got an invitation from the Ulster Unionist Party to go to a meeting or reception in Belfast. I nearly dropped, to tell you the truth. The Ulster Unionist Party. And somebody said to me, well, now you better take it easy before you turn that down. I went, and there were a series of meetings. But the situation was ripe for that. It wasn't my doing. Think of the work that Cardinal Daly did. Think of the work that so many church people did. Think of the work of how many believers did who believed in the gospel of reconciliation, of penance, of forgiveness. They laid the groundwork. Okay, there were these meetings to be gone to, but anybody could have done that. It just so happened that I was in that place at this time. But I thank God for the playing a part in it. And, you know, I've got some lovely letters in the past weeks from people from the other churches. The last word today, the Archbishop of Armagh said to me, the Anglican Archbishop, he said, tell the Holy Father, greet him on my behalf and give him my good wishes and prayers. And that, I said, I certainly will. Now, that there is a sea change, a wonderful change. We are in a special place, I think, at the moment, a beacon of hope. But, okay, we all have to play our part. Everybody has to play their part in a kind of building trust, I suppose, and initiating dialogue and seeing beyond the cliches and the, you know, the posturings that people have to sometimes engage in because they need to bring their own constituencies with them and to see the reality of the humanity of these people. We all have the same needs, really. This, the need to be secure and to be have a future for our children and grandchildren. And I think I've happened to be living in a very blessed time, I hope. But I wouldn't want to become complacent either, or any of us could become complacent. But thanks be to God for the progress that has been made.
Cardinal Sean Baptist Brady talking there to my colleague Emma McCarthy.